Hello and welcome to Love Your Life Now. My name is Sonia Sophie and today I am here with my wonderful Kundalini yoga teacher and friend,
Christina Sergun Powers.
And Christina and I today are going to talk about the next thing that we're going to do, which is in about half an hour from now, because this is something that we want to share with you. It has to do with nutrition, so that's where I come in, and it has to do with Kundalini yoga and some of the great things that Christina Sergun is doing out there in the world, particularly for young people. So the topic today is how the new generation is coming up and learning about many of the concepts that those of us that are in our 40s, 50s, and you know, and beyond have not learned until we were maybe in our late 20s or even after, and how that is changing and how that is positively affecting people's lives. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be a great 20 minutes. So Christina, the first question that I want to ask and that I want you to let the listeners know is, what is it that you have been doing as a Kundalini yoga teacher within the school system?
Right. Well, I have been very fortunate to be teaching Kundalini yoga in the school system for the last 12 years. I think it might be going on 12 years, started in 2003. And this is when I started my Kundalini yoga training, and I was also a classroom teacher. I am certified and credentialed to teach English middle school through high school, and that's what I was doing. And it made sense to me to keep my energy level, to do different breathing and yoga, Kundalini yoga practices throughout the day. And I thought to myself, we're demanding so much on our youth throughout the day. Our school schedule is way longer than it really should be for various reasons that are, you know, in the political powers that be. And we are demanding them to be more and more in the mental state. And so I said, well, I know what I do to re-energize myself. Let me introduce some of these things to the kids and see how they respond. I know I needed it as their teacher. And they responded immediately. So it grew, and it grew to an after-school yoga class. It grew to me doing more training of blending the idea of teaching yoga into the classroom. And it just amplified from there. So it became an alternative PE course that I taught for the last 12 years, and elective courses. And then when I left that school and moved on and opened another new charter school, they asked me to teach an elective, and I knew exactly what I was going to teach. And in my heart, I said to myself, this is really what I want to be doing all day long. And here I am doing that now. And so not only do I teach the adult classes, which Sonia Sophie and Sabine and Tina, our other colleagues attend, I also teach in the schools. And because of my background as an educator, I'm able to blend the curriculum from the state for health and PE standards with what we're doing in yoga. And there isn't one moment where it doesn't miss a beat. It blends perfectly. And I also have trained a core of 12 teachers to do exactly that. Not every yoga teacher can walk into the classroom and understand the culture and understand the environment of a school system. And not every school teacher is comfortable to bring yoga into the school. And so I'm fortunate to be able to bridge that gap. And that's what I do. And right now I seem to teach at one of the schools because I like to be in that energy when I talk to the other teachers that I place to be able to talk about what's going on. So we meet in one of the schools. It's a PE class for my younger students, 9th and 10th graders, and my older students, my 11th and 12th graders. It's an alternative elective. And we call this particular class so that it meets all of the requirements of this school and also going into the UC and Cal State. We call it peer mediation through yoga, through yoga techniques. So we apply the 8 principles of yoga, a few of them, you know, off the top of my head, being right action, right speech, right intention, right mindfulness, to the theme of what we're doing that day. And we do different group games, yoga games, to get them to interact socially, get them to interact with themselves, but also feel the connectedness to each other and to the whole. And then we branch that out to the community. And so right now we're looking at the body. So we always, every class I ask them, how are you balancing today through your yoga practice physically, mentally, emotionally, socially? And we talk about spiritually, because that is underneath the California education definitions of health. And they talk about in their PE class, in their health classes, you have to be balanced in all five aspects. And we really talk about what does the spiritual self mean, and not being afraid of it. And so when they're ready to talk about that and ask questions and what it means to you to be connected to the self, to be comfortable within your skin and be understanding the other person is a human being like you, and connected to that human being, and then reaching that out into the community, that's when we really kind of start to have that peer mediation level. And automatically, we'll be doing a project advocating for addictions and alcohol and tobacco and drugs and the sex, dealing with that, all the things that kids come up against, because they don't have that confidence, they don't have that that strength within themselves that they're learning through yoga techniques, through breathing, through meditation. Now Sonia Sophie is going to be coming in as our resident expert in health, nutrition, and wellness, and she's going to be talking to them about sugar and how that creates imbalance in the body. And so this is the first unit for our class, and we've really been looking at the body system and how we balance that in yoga class. And then we're also analyzing a film called Food Matters, which many of you probably already have heard about. And for them, it's, some of it is new, but what I'm so surprised at right now, after 12 years of teaching, they know a lot of this about superfoods, and it's just reinforcing and adding to what they already know. So I'm super excited about that. So this next unit that we're just kind of in the middle, getting to the end of, we're looking at nutrition. So I've talked a lot. Do you want to add something to other things I've said?
Yeah, perfect. So, well, now people know, one of the awesome things that you are doing out there. And what I find so great about this is that everyone who is listening to the podcast here, or many of you guys, know how important it is to have some kind of a practice, either working out regularly and doing meditations and doing yoga particularly, for instance, and also how important it is to eat better and to work on your spiritual and emotional well-being. Otherwise you wouldn't be listening to this podcast even. And so most of you, I'm assuming, right, but most of you are within, somewhere between probably age 30 and up, and we have been through all this time where some of this information wasn't accessible, and many of us probably felt that we were outsiders because we saw that something was not really right in the world that we were living in. Like, wait a minute, something seems off, but everybody else seems to be okay with it. So maybe I'm off, right? And that's what many of us have felt in all these different ways. And if you listen to our earlier podcasts, we've talked about many of these, like the gender equality and the way that we're thinking about the world, how everything is connected and all of those things. And so now what I love about what you do is the fact that you are taking this concept that at some point was so different, right, and new, and I don't know, esoteric, whatever all of that was, right, and you are bringing it and you are giving this gift to these students who say, oh, yoga, I think I'm going to try that, right? So they're like, wow, okay, those are the ones that otherwise maybe would have started to feel as an outsider in one way or another, right? Mm-hmm. And here you are giving them this gift of being able to see, no, this is no outsider stuff. This is true secret knowledge that I can really use and utilize to make my life better and to impact positively the lives of all of the people that I am encountering. And so you are really empowering them in a way that is just amazing. And I am, number one, I'm thinking, man, I wish I had this when I was a kid. But also I'm like, wow, I really want my son to be able to have access to this. And of course, he does have access to a lot of this information through me. But really, if we're looking at, wow, now what if all those children out there, if all of them had access to this type of information and practice and just even just looking at it, well, maybe they don't feel it's for them at the moment, but even just knowing that, okay, this is out there. And when I need it, when I feel like something's missing, then I can say, well, maybe it's that. I can go back and revisit that information. And, you know, and then maybe all of a sudden the breathing exercises make sense. But one thing I know is once you start breathing right and, you know, you're feeling something. So as a younger child, you're even less analytical. You're like, oh, this breathing makes me feel good. I'm just going to keep doing it. So we are really reaching them at a time where they need this information, but it wasn't accessible to us when we were that age, and now you are giving it to them. And for you guys out there, why am I making, you know, this topic the topic today is to just raise that awareness of how are things changing for this generation that's coming up, and how can we help them have this positive impact at a much younger age, at 16, 17, 18, instead of having to go through getting into their late 20s and early 30s and then have to relearn everything, let go of everything and all those things. You know, how about creating a generation that doesn't even start collecting all this BS?
Totally. I mean, I see that with my daughter. I see some of the things she comes to me. I mean, she seems suddenly to know a lot more than me, which, gosh, hope upon hope, that is what you hope. And I'm like, that's amazing. She said something to me last year. She said, why are you buying me that deodorant? You don't want me to have aluminum in my armpits, do you? I'm like, of course I don't. How could I be so foolish? Absolutely.
Yes.
And also with this, it takes the parents. So some of you out there are parents. Some of you might not be parents or soon to be parents in the future parents. At my son's school, I was looking at his science book. He was having me kind of read through the chapter with him, or kind of go through something. And there was this was an outdated science book. I recognize it, 1991. It said, biotechnology, look at all the things we're doing and how great it is. Can you imagine a tomato as big as a grapefruit? And can you imagine a grapefruit as big as a watermelon? So amazing. And can you imagine a turkey with all white meat? And I looked at that and I was like, horrified. I said, they are promoting GMO foods. Oh my God. So I emailed the principal. I emailed the vice principal, and they were like, oh, you're so right. I said, do they take care of this in health class? Does the teacher address these things, you know, misinformation? I said, because I'm very concerned. So the teacher emailed me back and she says, oh, I know with the Monsanto, and we go through and we have this and that film and da 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 da. And I said, that's fantastic. I really appreciate that. And I have many friends who are expert health and nutrition who would love to come in and talk to your class about this. Contact me if you would like to do that. So it takes kind of the parents going in there and saying something. And then, of course, if you were wanting, you know, Sonia Sophie or Sabine or Tina to come in and talk to your children's school, you know, you can know how to contact us, or somebody in your circles.
Excellent, excellent point, because you're going straight back into that education system. And I was just mentioning this to someone yesterday, a friend of mine. We were walking and we were talking about the fact that a lot of these science books that are out there that the children are learning from are very much outdated. So thank you for proving that point for me again, because I didn't really know how much they still are outdated. And there are so much new science that is being found out about life. And also the funny thing about this science is that this science is continuing to point more and more and more to the old ancient knowledge. It's like we're coming full circle, right? Mm-hmm. Like we started at one point and knew everything. And then we went like away and forgot and forgot and forgot. And then we were like, oh, let's look at this again. And then we created the wheel from scratch. And now we're like, oh, wait a minute. All right.
Because that's what superfoods are.
Yeah,
it's,
right?
It's the ancient knowledge.
Eat, right?
You know, 5,000 years ago, they had spirulina in Mexico, what was, you know, now Mexico City, and this was the incredible protein source. All of these superfoods that were going to help us, you know, amplify now, these people were doing 5,000 years ago.
Exactly, and they weren't eating a whole bunch of processed foods.
Never.
And so sometimes it's like, okay, well, maybe these people didn't create a bunch of processed foods, you know, and farm factories, because they knew that that wasn't a good idea. And then we just somehow forgot that that wasn't a good idea and we had to try it anyway. And so now a lot of the science that is being found within the last even year or two has not made it yet into the textbooks. Mm-hmm. And our children are learning sometimes this outdated information, and everyone else who has learned it 20 years ago still oftentimes goes by, well, this is what I learned 20 years ago, what science is, not knowing and not being able to fully realize how much there was that hasn't been found out yet, that now has been found out. It is so incredible at times that, you know, going from this old knowledge that we got when we were in high school and whatnot, that that seems just too incredible. But yet, these are the new facts. And so again, coming back full circle in our conversation is really about changing the educational system.
Mm-hmm.
Really, that's really what it is about. To really, and so you asked the parents to get involved, right? And so really, I guess now I'm asking the parents to get involved. It's really, we have to be the ones that create this new school system for all our children. We cannot leave that up to a few people in a government who have a task, and all they go by is, well, what was being done in the past. And then we changed a little bit here. No, we need people that are looking at this from a much broader standpoint. And I'm talking about from a more spiritual, broader, and a global standpoint. And the standpoint of this generation, what are the challenges this generation has to actually face? And how can we prepare them to face those challenges? Not the challenges from 100 years ago when the Industrial Revolution started and we needed to get people into a certain state so that they do certain things and know certain things and don't worry about certain other things so that they can work in our factories. That's when the educational system, that school system that we know, that's when that was invented.
You know what I think you're calling in to do is us write a charter.
Are we back at that? Yeah, I know, because we've talked about
never,
this before.
I've never not. Yeah. If that was always something
we've talked about
in
that,
my
yeah.
educational background,
mm-hmm.
and the reason I got my master's degree in educational leadership is that's what I want to do.
That.
I know how to do that,
yeah.
But it was something I just kind of put aside. But it seems like the critical mass is building. You, Sabine, me, Tina, and, you know, a few others.
Other friends,
That's all it takes, is that core group of people to build it. So that
yeah.
that
and,
be,
and
it just it keeps popping up in the
language.
Right? So
yeah.
that may be something.
And we are continuing to gather information
mm-hmm.
for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and everything that we are gathering, we find out that it's actually helping to build something like that. So see, people, that's what happens. We've been talking for 18 minutes and already we got a new project on our hands. It was completely unintentional. But it's, you know, but that is how change happens, is when you start talking about, when you start having discussions about something that is close to your heart, something that you are concerned about. And so Sergun and I and Tina and Sabine, we are deeply concerned or care deeply about our children and their whole generation, because I don't only just care about my son, I care about every single one of his friends and people that come in contact with him and the people that he comes in contact with. And it's all, we're all connected. And we can only do this thing together. So I am very much like, wow, what would I want my child to have in his bag, right? On his way through life, on his toolbox to take from, and how can I give that to him? And how can we give that particularly also to the children where the parents maybe are so deeply into, you know, just getting by in life? life, maybe just putting food on the table and all of those challenges where they don't have any space available right now to, you know, focus on their children's spiritual development.
Right.
Then that's where community comes in, and where community has to step in and say, well, okay, I have that space available because I have just happened to be working in that space. And then now we get to make that available for those children. And that's really what we need to do. And that is what Sirgun and I are going to do now. We're going to head over to the school, and I'm going to talk a little bit about sugar and how damaging sugar can be. And I'm going to tell these kids exactly what I wish someone would have told me when I was 17, before I went on my crazy 1,200 calorie a day diet that consisted of sugar, butter, and bread and yogurt, dairy, right? So dairy and sugar. That's all I was eating, but only 1,200 calories a day. So I thought I was good, right?
Yeah.
And I just want to make sure that those children in this classroom that you're having, that they will never fall for this stupid, dumb lie and can actually be empowered and make better decisions than I did many, many years ago. And so that's what we're off to do. And in the meantime, we want you to make sure that you go in. Hey, what is a passion of yours? Where can you make a positive difference for someone else in your life or even for yourself? And most of all, until next Friday, we want you to love your life now.